Let's go to Acts chapter 2. We left off somewhere last week. And we left off, matter of fact, I was going to start into verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, but I want to back up to verse 36. And I want to start reading there. And this is a kind of a commentary where we go to different scriptures and we check these things out. And it's in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Luke wrote this. Remember, Luke had perfect understanding of everything. God gave him perfect understanding. So there's no mistakes in here. And remember, in Luke and in Acts, he was writing to this guy. He said, O Theophilus. So here's what he says in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Well, Lord, of course, is owner. And Christ, we know what that is. How about going to, hold on here, because this is our main point. Go over to Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Let's see what it says. Remember, Peter's preaching a murder indictment to these Jews. If you'll notice, he said, let all the house of Israel. That didn't include any Gentiles in here. I don't believe there was a Gentile around. Not a Greek that was in the covenants of promise. It said, let all the house of Israel. Now, here's what it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Well, go to verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him, that's Jesus, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, or to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. What didn't he say there? He didn't say a thing about a Gentile. But we know by studying the other scriptures that the people that were in the covenants of promise, those that blessed the seed of Abraham, are covered in here. But it says to give repentance to Israel. Not you heathens here, not you idol-worshipping people like myself. This is the Ephesians and Colossians. That's not what he said there. Back over to verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked. They were pained in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were scared to death. They had realized now they had crucified the Messiah that had been prophesied. How about going over to Zechariah chapter 12? Hold on, where you at? I hope I got my references correct. Zechariah chapter 12. Verse 10. They knew these scriptures. These weren't new to them. In verse 10 in Zechariah 12, and I will pour upon the house of David, God says, the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem. Now that's a fact, guys. In that day. In that day, when is that? Second coming. Because we're in verse 13 down here, the very first one, he says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. They're going to be saved at that point in time right there. Remember in Matthew 24:13 and Mark 13:13, it says they had to endure unto the end. Their faith was on trial. Ours isn't. We're saved. We're sealed. We have the atonement as in Romans chapter 5 verse 11. We got it right now when we look back to the cross. They didn't have it. Basically what we're doing in here, Peter, James, and John, they didn't have it. They looked over to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then God put this on pause. You know, we have the dispensation of the grace of God. The rapture takes place. 7 years of trials and tribulation. The second coming comes in here. That's whenever Zechariah 13:1, the fountain will be open for their cleansing. That's when these people over here, Peter's bunch as we're talking about, they're looking forward to that day, that second coming, when their sins will be taken care of and they will be totally atoned for. Now, back into the scriptures here, verse 38. With this in mind, it says, then Peter at this time here, was the leader of the group. leader of the apostles at Jerusalem. And we know later on in Acts chapter 15, Peter loses that, and the Lord's half-brother takes the reign. You've got to understand something about the Lord's half-brother, James. See, James, the apostle, got his head cut off in Acts chapter 12. So we know it's not him. There's like three different Jameses in here. But we're talking now about in Acts chapter 15. You ain't got to go over there. Acts chapter 15, when James, the Lord's half-brother, he's the guru in charge. But you've got to understand what happened to him. Him and the brethren and the sisters and all Christ's half-brothers did not believe that he was the Messiah himself. But after he was crucified and resurrected from the dead, they believed it. And then James took over as honcho there in Jerusalem. So with that said, then Peter said unto them, repent, change your mind about who that Christ was, that man that walked around here, the Son of Man. He is now the Son of God. And be baptized, identified, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's a lot in here. Repent, as I say, change your mind and be baptized. We know right here now, we're going to see, if you'll go on over to Mark 16. If you would, go on over to Mark 16. And we're going to see what this baptized is. We know that it's baptism into water. In this case right here, there is no doubt about it. But I want to see what's in Mark 16, verse 16. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, and we're going to get to that in a moment, shall follow them that believe. So back over here, if you will go over to Matthew, should be the last chapter, Matthew 28, verse 19. Christ said this in Matthew 28, 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He's talking to the apostles. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now when they did that, what would happen? Just take a look at Luke chapter 24. See what we can find. Verse 47. Luke 24, 47. And Christ had just said this to them. Thus it is written in verse 46. And thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, you know, you saw remission of sins in here. We've talked about this in this context. There's another context that remission doesn't mean what I'm going to say. But remission of sins is like having cancer. You still got it. It's not active, but the sins has never been attacked. You don't have it yet. You don't have in Zechariah 13, 1 there. You don't have that cleansing at that fountain. You can lose your salvation. Faith is on trial. Sapphira is a very big proof of that. So I wanted you to see that. Now, verse 39 of Acts chapter 2. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify, Peter, and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Well, what's untoward? That's a crooked generation. It's a perverse generation. It's a wicked generation. You remember that this, I'll deliver you from this evil, present evil world? Well, that's an untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. There ain't no doubt in my mind, that's water. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You remember this right here, the apostles' doctrine. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The apostles' doctrine. They continue to break bread. You remember whenever at the Last Supper, Christ said this. He said, to paraphrase, he said, I won't eat or drink of the vine until I come. And that's the second coming. So, but they went about breaking bread, eating. And it mentions, if you go back over in here, and I don't want you to go there right now, but it talks about them going from house to house. And we may get to that. Now, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Well, this is one of those places where souls mean people. You know, you've got three definitions of souls, but this one is people. You've got to see what the context of the Scripture means. You just can't look it up in Strong's Concordance and say that's what it means in every case. And another thing, while I'm on that, I mentioned it before, Strong, James Strong, he was on the committee. He was asked by B.F. Westcott and Hort to come and be on the committee of the American Standard Version of the Bible. Now, why would Westcott, who was a Gnostic himself, ask the man who wrote a book here about all the Greek and Hebrew words to come and sit on his committee unless that guy was kind of in agreement with him? It's just like any of us. If we weren't in like agreement about things, having things common here with our beliefs of Christ being crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead, we wouldn't really have anything in common if you thought you had to be water baptized, would we? I don't think so. Not if I'm baptized by the Spirit and Candy over here believes that she's got to be water baptized. I wouldn't want her on my committee. That's divisions. At one time it was true, but it's not true for us in this dispensation. Now, and fear came upon every soul, in verse 43 of Acts 2. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Go back over to Mark 16. Mark 16. Many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs, this is after they were baptized, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, you know, that was an absolute true fact. That's what they did. Because they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. They were led by the Holy Ghost. They performed miracles by the Holy Ghost. That's not true for us in this dispensation of the grace of God. But you've got to see, that's what their commission was in the dispensation of the law. Now, verse 44. And all that believe were together, and all had things common. And this is the kind of place that I don't want to refer to it as communism, but they probably lived in a commune. Kind of like the hippies did back years ago in the 60s, where everybody got together and lived. 50 people, kind of like south of the border people now coming up and living in one house, and they got 15 people living in it. They had all things common. They needed a common place to stay. Now, why? Go over to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now, verse 32 in Acts 4, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that ought to, of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. All things common. Yeah. In other words, if Harry owned a big old beautiful motorhome, and I owned a little bitty travel trailer, he sold it, I sold it, and he never wanted it back, I never wanted mine back, things would be distributed out by the leader there who was in charge of that, to people who needed it. We had all things in common. All our clothes, everything. Our house, the whole ball of wax. And go on down to verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. No, they had everything they needed. God takes care of it. Just like he talks about the sparrows and the birds. You know, they don't work, they don't toil, but he takes care of them. That's why he tells us in this age of grace here, this administration of time period, that, hey, you trust the Lord for your needs. You'll provide, not your wants. Neither were there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. It sounds like, honestly, it kind of sounds like the Politburo in Russia. It sounds like a form of communism. And it's not the type of communism that Karl Marx cooked up. But this was something that the Lord had laid down as a truth. And laid them down at the apostles' feet and distributed upon every man according as he had need. You had a need, you got it. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it. We're going to talk about him when we get there in the great deal. But I wanted you to see Barnabas, as you already know about Barnabas, but he had land and he sold it and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. It's a very significant thing once we get to Barnabas, how he did that, where he was saved, what he did, and where he wound up with the Apostle Paul. So it's very significant about Barnabas selling something because he had all things in common with the apostles. Now, back over to Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, going from house to house to eat, they did eat their meat, that's their food, with gladness and singleness of heart. Go over to Luke 24. Should be verse 53. And this is just to show you, to back it up. This is after Jesus was taken up and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So we know that's a true statement. Everything in this book is true, of course. But, you know, anytime you can back it up with another verse, then that's even better. But they had singleness of heart. Verse 47, Acts chapter 2. Praising God, we just read about it over in Luke, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now it changes. But in chapter 3, now Peter and John, they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. We're going to look at that. Being the ninth hour. Ooh. How about going with the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Okay? On Jewish time. 6 a.m. starts the day. Then the ninth hour is 3 p.m. That's when Christ gave up the ghost and said, it is finished. Now, well, I want to go over to Psalm chapter 55. We'll chase this a little bit. Psalm 55. Go to verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon, this is David, will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. 3 times a day. Now we know them Muslims, this was Islamic guys, they pray, what, 5 times a day? They bend themselves down toward Mecca and they pray, well, no matter what they're doing. This is not the same, but it does say evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He's talking about God, the Lord. Now, with that in mind, those 3 times, evening, morning, and noon, remember it was 9 p.m. or 9 in the afternoon. I'm just going to say that. P.m. for us, that's in today's time. 9 o'clock. Now, I've been trying to figure out something, but before I mention that, go over to Daniel chapter 6. Now we're going to tie this together with Daniel, chapter 6. Verse 10. And the context here is basically, these people didn't like Daniel. And so what they did, they talked the king into establishing some kind of rule that nobody could do certain things, and needless to say, Daniel broke that rule in verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed by the king, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber, look at this, toward Jerusalem. See, Islam faces Mecca. Right here, Daniel faced Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before the God, his God, as he did aforetime. 3 times a day. We done read back over here. It was 3 times a day. Morning, evening, and... Come on in, Pat. Pull you up a chair. So that's, to me, establishes some things. I don't. We're not Jews, and we're not to follow this. We're just supposed. Paul says, pray unceasingly, not just 3 times a day. You know, I hope there's nobody in here just prays once a day, or hopefully you pray, but pray unceasingly. You know, that's why you got a mediator. You don't know what to pray for in the first place. You don't know what's good for you. We may think we know, but we don't. That's why Jesus Christ is our intercessor, our mediator. Okay, we're in Acts chapter 2. Okay. And in verse 2 of chapter 3, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 3, verse 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, probably by his friends. They laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Alms, gifts, more or less money. Something to this old boy could buy food with, or I don't even know if he had to pay rent at the point of that time, but something, alms, is giving something to the people. And they were asking, he was asking Peter and John to give me some alms as they were walking into the temple. You know, it kind of sounds like this when we're out here at a red light and you got these people that's sitting over there without legs. I mean, I see this. And it puts a guilt trip on you. It grieves you in your heart because you want to help the guy. Then you start thinking, well, is he legit? Well, yeah, I can see he doesn't have any legs. He probably can't work. He may be drawing super money from the military plus his social security. We don't know. He could just be a bum off the street. I don't know. But it plays on your heart. That's why that guy was there as they went into the temple. Give me something. So it had to play upon their heart. Now, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes, looking at him, looking upon him with John, said, look on us. Told that guy, that lame guy from birth, just look at us. Well, what was he going to be looking at? You're going to see glory there, man. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Both of those guys were. They could do just about anything in the name of the Lord. Look at us. And he gave heed, and in other words, he did, unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Yeah, I'll look at you, now give me the money. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And then this is where today's preachers, these Pentecostals, get, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I've heard that old boy that died not long ago, Oral Roberts, do that. And I guess some of the people got off of their crutches and stumbled 2 or 3 feet, and the crowd went crazy, and they believed, and so everything's happy every after. But that's a fairy tale. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. That's Peter did this. And he, that's the lame man, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, if he'd have been paralyzed or couldn't walk ever since you were born, you'd be jumping up praising God too. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, he held them. He didn't just sit there talking to them, he held them. I can imagine, I can see him squeezed tight with an arm around each person's neck, thanking them in the name of God. All the people ran together into them in the porch that is called Solomon's gravely wondering, pondering, wow, what happened to this lame guy? We've been seeing him out here for all these years. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. And here, look, he's talking to again. You men of Israel. That's who's there, guys. Why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us? As though we had made this man of our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk. Peter's saying, it's not us. It's the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, having glorified His Son Jesus, whom you, and he's doing this preaching again of another murder indictment, or continuing with it, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. That's when Pilate knew the man, Jesus Christ, was not guilty. He said, I washed my hands of this man, this an innocent man. In verse 14, but you denied the Holy One and the Just, that's Jesus Christ, and desired a murderer, Barabbas, and desired it, a murderer, that was Barabbas, to be granted unto you. So they turned the murderer loose so they could crucify Jesus Christ. Praise God they crucified Jesus Christ, or we'd be lost. And kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. See, everyone wasn't a witness, but the apostles, every one of them was a witness. Now, when I'm saying the apostles, Paul's not the 13th apostle that witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He saw the risen Christ. He said, I was born out of time. It was a different time period. It was the risen Christ that had appeared unto him. So, in verse 16, and his name, significant here, his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Just the name of Jesus would make you strong. Whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, in the second service, you're going to see something about this perfect soundness. So I want you to just keep that in mind. Perfect soundness has a main bearing with Israel in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 17, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance, I know now, through ignorance, you did, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. All of these things about the crucifixion of Christ was in the Old Testament prophecy. Go over to Psalm chapter 22. Let's see what it says. Psalm chapter 22, verse 1. This is what Jesus spoke on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Go to Matthew 27.
That was
21:1. About Jesus saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But Matthew 27, this just shows about what we're talking about. Verse 46, and we've already mentioned about the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, in Matthew 27:46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Go over to Hebrews, would you? Chapter 5. Now, we know, since we've all been studying the Bible for some time, we know that what I'm reading here is not written directly to us in Hebrews. Not what I'm going to use this to show what Peter was talking to them about. And I'll just mention this. Verse 7, Hebrews 5:7. Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, talking about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, unto God, that is, that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, thought he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered.
Though he were a son.
Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now look at verse 9. And being made perfect, that was Jesus Christ was perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You don't obey him. They had to obey him. We trust what his finished work did for us on Calvary when he shed his blood. Called of God and high priest. Well, you know what? This was true for Peter and his teachings. It is not true for us. He is not our high priest. After the order of Melchizedek. If you remember in the Old Testament about Melchizedek, Melchizedek had no beginning and no ending. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now, back over to Acts chapter 3. But I wanted you to see, whenever you hear people talking about the high priest and Melchizedek and all that, that's not us. That was true. Jesus Christ was that for those people that Peter was preaching to. But it's not to us. So that's why it's so important to learn what doctrine is written directly to us and separate it out from the rest of the Bible called rightly dividing the word of truth. We don't rightly divide the Bible, we rightly divide the word of truth. Now, verse 19 of Acts chapter 3. This is what Peter was telling those people after they asked him in verse 38, what must we do? Because they were grieved. Repent. In other words, change ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When? Right here. At the times of refreshing. That's what it says. Shall come from the presence of the Lord. The next time the presence of the Lord is known on this earth is going to be at the second coming. Yes, he's coming at the rapture to pick me and all y'all guys that are saved up. And we're going to the judgment seat of Christ. He's not coming to the earth to do that. He's coming in the clouds, and we're going to meet him in the clouds. But right here, he's coming back. Because that's what it says. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's when the presence is going to be known. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive. He's at the right-hand side of the Father, on the right-hand side of the throne, until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. See, at the time this right here is talking about, Paul has not been saved on the road to Damascus. Nobody knows about Saul or Paul or the body of Christ. Nothing. It's not in the Scriptures. So what Peter's talking about is what Peter knows about. He didn't know anything about all this earlier was going to be revealed to the Apostle Paul. Now, let's keep going. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Brethren here is going to be like the Jews. There's different brethren. You can have brothers, that's brethren. You can have sisters, that's brethren. But this is the Jews, like unto me, like unto Moses. Him shall you hear in what all things. Not just what I'm telling you that I've been commanded to teach you about the law, but you're going to hear him in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. Go to Deuteronomy 18, would you? Just to show you that this was prophesied in the Old Testament. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 18:15. says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. Go to verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I have commanded him, that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken, won't listen, unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require of it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. You know, we have false prophets right now. There ain't no prophets out here walking around. I see people with prophets and prophecies. How do you pronounce that for the females?
Prophecies.
Prophecies. If they prophesize, it doesn't come to pass. The Old Testament said they ought to die. But see, we're living in the age of grace. You can say anything you want. All things are lawful, but you shouldn't. But you're not going to be struck down in here if you do prophesy. Our brother Joe wrote a book. It didn't come to pass. He found a false prophet. He's a good man. Loves the Lord. The fact of it is, he was found to be a false prophet. Now, he's still walking around with us. Thank God. Now, verse 23 of Acts chapter 3. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Well, we just read that in the Old Testament there. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. All of this is prophecy that you're seeing, guys. That's what Peter is telling those Jews there. Verse 25, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And go to Genesis chapter 12 real quick. Verse 3. God made a covenant with Abraham. It's not that Abraham made a covenant with God. Hey, God made a covenant with Abraham on his conditions. And Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and he says, and I will bless them, that's God, that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's just what it pretty well said there in verse 25 of Acts chapter 3. We're going to finish this up right now. Unto you first, God, and you Jews, Israel, having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you, to bless the Jews now, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 21, I believe, if I get there. Lord, it'd be me there. Talking about Mary here. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. This is what I want you to see. For he shall save his people from their sin. His people is the Jews. Nothing about you ungodly Gentiles that were without God, without hope in the world. Nothing. It's the Jews that are the chosen people. And in verse, back in Acts chapter 3, verse 26, he says, unto you first, that's the Jews. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 1? To the Jew first. And also to the Greek. That's those in the covenants and promises. But the Jew first. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent Jesus, to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's your sins. That's why he sent Jesus Christ there for them. Now, with that, we're going to take a break.